Thanks, Jose. We're back with the conversation. And Hawaii ranked dead last in a recent WalletHub survey that looked at the value taxpayers get for their money. In an interview with Conversation producer Ryan Finnerty, WalletHub policy analyst Jill Gonzalez said that although the quality of most government services in Hawaii is about average, local taxpayers pay more for those services than residents of any other state.
We simply looked at the total taxes paid per capita. That's both federal, state, and local tax rates throughout states. And then we compared that to how government services rank here in terms of education, in terms of health care, safety, overall economy, infrastructure, pollution. So we looked at all of those government-provided services to see if residents are getting some bang for their buck, if they might be overpaying, or if they're essentially getting what they pay for. Hawaii has some of the lowest property taxes in the country, but it certainly makes up for that, specifically with its sales and excise taxes, income tax more middle of the pack. So that was why it ranked so low here, just a lot of that sales and excise tax ranking it pretty low. In terms of government services, it's more middle of the pack. So it seems that Hawaiians are really overpaying for a lot of these government-provided services, some definitely more than others. Hawaii actually did pretty well when it comes to healthcare, public hospital systems, very low depression rates, great quality of healthcare access, very high insured population. Health insurance premiums are not that high either. But when it comes to most other things, specifically education and the overall infrastructure, that's where Hawaii could really step it up. A pretty good portion of its roads and bridges that are deemed to be in poor quality. The other thing here is education. We want to see that the quality of public university systems gets a little bit better. School systems, K through 12 public, also need some work. And that can be seen when you look at the public high school graduation rate, which could definitely be higher. So when it comes to education and infrastructure, not necessarily the worst quality, but for what Hawaiians are paying in taxes, they're not really getting that one-to-one return on investment.
And in the wake of that report, my co-host Catherine Cruz asked Tom Yamachika, president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, why we ranked so low.
The WalletHub study compared what you pay versus what you get. And it says, well, we pay a lot because we're second or third highest in terms of what we pay in taxes per capita. But at the same time, what we get back is like 26th or 25th in the nation in terms of government services. And what they did to get that 26 is they broke down a number of government services: education, health, safety, economy, infrastructure, and pollution. Those are the five categories they looked at. And they gave all of the states a ranking for each of those categories. So when we got to 26th overall, they gave us a 38 out of 51 for education, 6 for health, and everything else was kind of more in the middle range. 21 for safety, 34 for economy, 26 for infrastructure and pollution. So again, but the way you measure or they measure return on investment is they compare what you pay versus what you get, and they found that we were the worst in the country in that regard.
And do you agree with that assessment?
Well, you know, like I said, it's all in the interpretation. There's a lot of economic data out there. There's certainly a lot we can do to improve our position. I think other states have that too. But we have a lot of issues, I think, that need some improvement.
Right, and I know they talked about the ranking of the state of our infrastructure, our roads and our bridges, and the deputy director of DOT came in here and was talking about, yep, we've got lots of old bridges that we are going to need to address, very serious issues about access. And the quality of our roads are, everybody knows they're just subpar, I think, in many areas.
Yeah, one of the problems that came to light a couple of years ago was that, the feds were giving us money to do capital projects, to repair roads and bridges, stuff like that, and we couldn't spend it fast enough. we had like $1 billion in terms of backlog between the amount of money that the feds had authorized for us and the amount that we could spend. And a lot of this was because of permitting delays. So, you know, the Department of Transportation would get some plans together and ask for permitting. The responsible authority for issuing the permit kind of sat on it, and then the, you know, other things in the department's plan expired, so they had to go start all over again. You know, a few times you do that, then you kind of spend a lot of money and get nothing for it.
And so we basically, though, got an inefficient system then.
Yeah, I think that's correct. That was flagged a couple of years ago. Department of Transportation said they would address that and get that down. They in fact, have gotten it down quite a bit. But I think, you know, we have some catching up to do.
Right. And I don't think it's just the DOT. I think it was the city and county that got zinged for not spending some of the housing money.
Yeah, and I think with this administration, it's going to be a real problem, because if we can't spend the money, the administration, you know, the federal one, is probably going to say, "Well, look, if you can't use the money, we won't give it to you."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then where does that put us? Right.
That means somebody else has to pick up the slack because we still have infrastructure that needs repair. We still have, you know, these government services that we need and demand as a people. Somebody's got to pay for them.
And with the position that the Trump administration is taking, it is said, well, we want to put money in the infrastructure, across the board. But I guess we're still waiting to see what we actually get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we're still, I think, waiting for a determination from Federal Transit Authority about our beleaguered rail project. I think, had put in that recovery plan some time ago, and I'm not really sure where that's at. I think what we need to do is to address the issues that were flagged in the study as problems for our state, and then we've got to do something about them. Again, what we were just talking about is one thing that we got dinged for is being 48th out of 50 on worst roads and bridges. So hopefully that's something we can address. How that's going to be addressed, I'm not sure. That's up to the great wisdom and of our legislators who are, even as we speak, meeting in that big square building on Beartania Street.
Right. Anything this session that you're particularly concerned about or tracking closely?
Well, we track pretty much every tax bill that's in there, and there's still a lot that are alive. A lot of the bills that we thought were going to die have been kind of revived using gut and replace tactics. So, and let me kind of explain how that works. So you have a bill, let's say that you pass in the Senate, bring it over to the House. House doesn't do anything with it. So a House bill comes over to the Senate, and you're the senator who wants that bill passed. So you take a House bill with a similar title. You basically dump the contents, put your bill in, and say, "Okay, here." So the bill is still alive technically, but it's just especially when the two matters are unrelated.
Right, and we were talking last week about, gee, it seems there were an awful lot of those this session, and it unfortunately gives less time for the public to weigh in because they don't know that things have been switched around.
That's true. Yeah, usually you get 48 hours notice, if that, a number of topics.
Now, the Department of Transportation did try last year, and I think even the year before, to raise some of the taxes, I think the fuel tax, because they were saying, well, we need to be able to put some of this money toward maintenance and repairs.
Yeah, they were saying they needed $100 million, and they wanted to raise fuel tax, vehicle weight, and vehicle registration. 2 years ago, that bill went down in flames. They tried again last year. It didn't go very far. They didn't try so much this year. So, who knows? Things have been resurrected before, late in the process, and so we're kind of keeping an eye on it.
Tom Yamachika is president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. You can link to that Wallet Hub study on the Conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Chaminade University, Inter-Island Solar Supply, and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.